And welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to this edition of the Hagmann Report. It is Friday the 13th. I didn't even know it was Friday the 13th. I really didn't pay attention. Friday, December 13, 2024. I want to welcome everyone to today's program. Thank you very much for signing up for and into Rumble. Also following us on Rumble. Thank you very much. We appreciate that. I have a great show lined up for you. We have Landon from SaveThem.org, going to give us an update, a tremendous information-packed update, absolutely incredible things that are going on. Meanwhile, President Trump, before I get to Landon, I just want to say a couple of things. President Trump finally weighed in on the mystery drones, as if he, you know, is really the commander-in-chief, or I guess he should be. Because Dementia Joe, you know, Potato Head Joe and Cackles McKnee Pads hasn't said diddly. And you got John Kirby up there waffling, wobbling, and saying lies. Yeah, that's right. That's right, Joe. Come on. Come on. Take you up back, out behind the gym, right? Isn't that where you want to meet? Let's go. I'll drop you.
Who in the hell does he think he is? Who does he think he is?
I'll tell you who, Joe. Yeah. Oh, man. I got some words. I have a lot of words, but I've got to not say them and repent. Look, President Trump said, look, you know, if you don't know what they are, and the government's, you know, government needs to come clean if they do know what they are. If you don't know what they are, they're hazardous, essentially, I'm paraphrasing, of course, and shoot them down. I agree. Shoot them down. You know what? You'll find out who owns them and who's behind them. Just shoot a few down. I'm sure it would depend on the proximity to the person. If an individual could do that, I certainly wouldn't want to take a 9mm out there and try to pick one from the sky. Don't do that. Okay. And Eric, I know Eric, you tried, I think maybe. Did you try that this evening? Or 45, or what'd you have?
What's nice is when you shoot straight up,
yeah,
there's no bullet drop. So you don't have to count for that. You just shoot straight up. Just the windage.
So where does the bullet go then if you shoot straight up?
Into the drone.
Well, if the drone... if you hit it, that's right, or if it's above you, then you got to worry about particulate matter falling upon your head. In addition to did you spike my coffee? Anyone here spike my coffee tonight? Okay. There's also a defamation case being against President Trump. Gateway Pundits reporting this: Trump to be deposed week before Christmas in defamation case against ABC News over Stephanopoulos. You know, Snuffleupagus, his statements on E. Jean Carroll. The way that reads, let's see here. It's President Trump. It's his defamation case against ABC News. The way it's written is clumsily written, in my opinion. But the judge sentenced his deposition a week before Christmas. Okay. We know whose team they're playing on. A lot of other things. FBI, of course, knowing this FBI spying on Cash Patel, really sucked up his emails, phone records, and did a lot of things illegally. And you got 84-year-old Nancy Pelosi stuck in a Luxembourg hospital with a broken hip. Oh, I've fallen and I can't get up.
Sad.
Yeah. I'm with you, brother. Sad. Hang on. Let me wipe my finger. Hang on a second. This is for Nancy. Just have to. Okay. I'm better now.
God bless you.
Yeah. That's true. Carrie Lake, I didn't mention this yesterday, is going to be heading up the Voice of America. And That's a big position. That's an influential position. So there's that. Before I go further, I do want to thank you, the people who sponsor this program, as well as our corporate sponsors, the few that we have, including and especially ProteinWithDoug.com. That's the BioTrust protein powder. I'm going to tell you something. This stuff's good. It's good. It tastes like a milkshake. It really does. Most protein powders, they promise quick results, or the results, period, but secretly load you up with carbs and sugars that hold you back. Well, a cutting-edge 2023 study exposed how much those extra carbs and sugars can drag your energy down and stall the fat burning. And I've seen this happen with people who take protein powder. So why settle for protein that works against you when you can give your body exactly what it needs to perform its best? Well, that's why I use my new secret weapon to give my body what it needs to build muscle and burn fat. This amazing new product is the most delicious way I found to cut carbs, curb cravings, and manage my weight. And it's a low carb. Jiminy, what's that? Joe Biden thing? Yeah. This low carb protein uses mouthwatering ice cream flavors to promote muscle building, weight management, and workout recovery. Plus, every scoop uses clean premium protein sourced from pasture-raised cows that you can't find in most alternatives. And simply mix this with your morning coffee, protein shake, smoothie, whatever. And it gives your body the support it needs throughout the day. By the way, I do have this mixed with my cold brew coffee. I took Detective's Choice cold brewed that and put the protein in there. So just saying. So do your body a favor. Grab a, you didn't even see that. I lifted my cup up. That's all right. Just check that out on your screen. Do your body a favor and grab a free bag of grass-fed protein powder during their holiday promotion only at proteinwithdoug.com. Let me read that again. Do your body a favor and grab a free bag of grass-fed protein powder during their holiday promotion only at proteinwithdoug.com. Plus, you'll also receive free health and fitness coaching and a free shake recipe cookbook with your free bag of grass-fed protein powder. Once again, that's proteinwithdoug.com. And I want to thank them for sponsoring this part of the broadcast. A lot of stuff going on in the background. What's up with the drones, right? What's up, as I mentioned earlier, what's up with the drones? What's going on? Somebody better start talking, and they better start talking soon. Quite frankly, I'm getting really pissed off about this whole thing. If it's our government, then they better start talking. If it's not our government, then we better start doing something. And if it's not our government, then what the hell is our government doing? All right. I want answers. I want them now. I'm a taxpayer. I pay their salaries. We pay their salaries. They work for us. We don't work for them. And they better give us answers and give us answers really quick. If there's anything to be concerned about, look, you have stuff flying around and you don't know if it's friendly. You don't know if it's got what it's got on it. You don't know if it's armed. You don't know anything. Well, I'll tell you, there's one way to find out. You take a friggin' military helicopter, a jet, whatever, a few jets, I don't know, a couple of cannons, muskets, a couple of sabers, if they're long enough, a unicorn, sit on the back of a unicorn and fly up there, and just take one down. Take one down. Take two down. Get a baker's dozen, and then see who shows up at your door. And then just record everything and have your neighbor record everything. Contact Eric the Tech for bail money, and we'll go from there. All right. I played two videos yesterday. I played two in anticipation of tonight, but I'm going to play them again tonight. In fact, right before Brandon comes on, or right before Landon comes on, I'm invoking my Joe Biden-ness right now. And you can't see it.
Where am I?
You can't see it right now, but he's laughing his ass off, okay? Do you hear him? Get heck with it. Brandon Landon, Fandon. Come on. Come on. No, it's actually Landon from SaveThem.org. It's not that I don't know the guy, right? It's not that we haven't worked together. It's not that we haven't, we don't know each other. I don't know. Somebody spiked my coffee. Landon, how are you, sir? Bring him on. How you doing, sir?
Yeah, man.
You okay?
I'm good. Good to see you, Doug.
Oh, man. Could I possibly get any worse?
It's all good, man.
Man.
It's all good.
Now,
we have to spend so many long hours sitting in the dark.
I
wonder where we were going to use the restroom. I'd have less grace for you.
How many hours have we sat in the dark together on stakeouts and surveillance? I mean,
weeks worth. Yeah.
And of all the people that I've within the group, within Save Them and Shatter Ops and stuff, I mean, I like them all, but I got to tell you, Landon is probably the one of the most effective investigators, and so he's a guy that you don't want to mess with. He will take you down, and he's done a lot of great work over the years. Worked closely with Russ, with the Shatter Ops, but his group, SaveThem.org, he's the international component. His group is the international component of child rescue. And when we're talking about child, the situation with the children right now, if we can, Eric the Tech, if you can play that short, the 43-second clip, just for Landon to give him an example here of what's out there. I mean, he knows what's out there. He's in the field all the time. But what people are saying, this is New York City mayor talking about missing children. Again, I played it yesterday. It's worth playing again today. Go ahead. Whatever the video number is, go ahead.
I learned also from sitting down with him and a representative from the Biden administration that was there in the meeting as well. We have 500,000 children who have sponsors in this country that we can't find. We can't find them. We don't know if they're doing child labor. We don't know if they're doing sex crimes. Or we don't know if they're being exploited. 500,000 children. There's a level of hypocrisy that everyone in the states, they want to protect everyone, but innocent individuals who are victims of crimes and children. I want to support and protect children and innocent people that are victims of crime. And those who don't understand that, it's not up to me to try to convince them.
So that was New York City Mayor Eric Adams saying 500, that's a half a million migrant children under Biden, Joe Biden's and McNeePads Harris, under their watch, along with Alejandro Mayorkas, that communist Cuban cue ball piece of crap. All right. This is what they're doing. Landon, what are your thoughts on this? Half a million children, migrant children, lost. Yeah. Are they really lost? Where are they?
So we have been working some programs regarding this on our U.S. side, and gotten to know some of the folks who are intimately familiar with the data and have personally traced the movement of some of these minors directly to MS-13. This is a wholly irresponsible situation, to say the least. I think what a lot of people got to understand is that the HHS program, which has pushed these kids into this country, has been going on for quite some time. It was going on back in 14, 15. Okay, so this is not a new issue. It just got a lot worse. And when you talk about 500,000 kids, so 329,000 as of October 23. So with the latest numbers that'll be coming out to bring that up to date, yeah, everybody's pretty sure it's going to be north of 500,000. If you think about that, I mean, that's a mid-sized city, U.S. city, full of children, just gone. And it's not possible. So here's the deal. There are databases that actually understand where the children were supposed to go. The reality is there's no follow-up as to where they actually are. And with a little bit of concerted effort, they will find a bunch of these kids, and it is not going to be pretty. But you got to realize, in that big of a number, you're going to have tens of thousands of kids just gone. And that's where, you know, like the work Shatter does, you know, you got to understand. So, for example, with MS-13, you got to understand that, yes, they do run a business. They do traffic kids for profit. But they are also religiously what we would call Satanists. So their religious beliefs are grounded in the sacrifice and abuse of children. So they're trafficking the children, not just for money, but for religious ends. And those kids don't come back. So,
or really, I mean, talk to me about that specifically. For religious ends, I mean, are you talking about? You're not talking about, you know, Catholic Charities being really nice, setting them up in a nice Catholic home or a nice Christian home, and you know, making sure they're taken care of. Not that's not what you're talking about, right?
No. This is a single apartment in Florida with 50 plus kids going to it, and those kids disappearing into MS-13 networks, for example. And those children are used for sacrifice rituals. You know, we all went through school, and back in school, you learn things like the Aztecs, you know, sacrificing children on the pyramids and all this kind of stuff. The kind of this mythical, mythological kind of view of child sacrifice. And, you know, we read a little bit about it in the Bible, about Molech and the sacrifice of children to Molech. But this is just real time. I mean, the sacrifice of children being the most vulnerable, and then the blood associated with that is what appeases the gods, you know, the demons, and they demand it. Yeah.
And so, this is happening. A lot of people don't believe in Pizzagate. A lot of people don't believe, and maybe that's an improperly term. That's an improper term. But the sacrificing of children, a lot of people don't believe that that's taking place. And one question many people will ask is, well, if that is taking place, where are the bodies? And you and I really know the answer to this question, but if you want to address that to the people who are really wondering, you know, hey, is this really happening? And if so, then you should be able to find the bodies, you would think, right? Think again.
Yeah.
How do you answer that?
Yeah, so it's two parts. A lot of times folks say, how come I don't know about this? Well, do you know everything about everything? I mean, there are a lot of things going on you don't know about. So why is this thing surprise you don't know about it if you're not involved, first of all? Second of all, it's called the occult for a reason, and that means hidden. So they have stayed hidden for millennia. It's what they do. And when you sacrifice a child and you dispose of the body, you burn it up or whatever, you're in the business of staying in business. You're going to be good at what you do. And so they're experts at getting rid of the evidence. They have entire cleanup crews within their networks that are assigned to do, I don't know what the right word is. It's like reverse forensics or whatever, you know, clean up a scene so that the Doug Hagmans of the world can't find anything.
Well, it'd be like bonded maintenance in a sense.
Yeah.
You know, and there are businesses out there that specialize in cleaning up nasty homicides and suicides and what have you.
Absolutely.
You know, so, I mean, but I'm sure they would do that on their own or with cleaner type people that know what they're doing and what they would have the means to carry it out. Plus, there are other ways to dispose of human remains.
Well, and think about organ trafficking.
Yeah.
So that's the other part of this is that when you look at organ trafficking, the whole point is they're cutting out organs and they are distributing them for sale to all ends of the earth. So of course you're not going to find it because the body was chopped up into 14 parts and sent in different directions. We find this in Africa all day long.
Wow.
It's called Muti. in South Africa, and it's the use of organs for religious purposes to ward off evil spirits, etc. Because they themselves are scared of the spirits. So you're not going to find the kidneys in your backyard because they were sold to somebody 200 miles away. You know, it's not hard to imagine how you're not going to figure it out.
Yeah, it's really not. And I recall spending time with you and Shatter Ops team members looking for human remains and actually bringing out cadaver dogs. You know, I mean, of course, when you're looking on a stretch of what, how many was that? 55 acres. I mean, incredibly. So we had drones up. Speaking of drones, and you know, cadaver dogs and personnel, and you know, it's not easy.
We've actually had someone from the inside just in the past 6 months talking to our team specifically about how they avoid cadaver dogs. Like they have really? Methodologies that overcome cadaver dog capabilities.
How's that possible? I know if you watch the movies, you can see this bringing drugs. They you know, usually put the drugs in coffee beans or whatever to cover up the smell or cover up the scent from the dogs. But how would they do that? Well, without giving any secrets away, how would they do that sort of kind of with human remains?
Yeah. So a couple different ways. You already alluded to masking, right? So you mask with the smell of other animals. Right. So that definitely happens where the dead bodies are put inside the carcass of another animal, which overpowers and confuses the cadaver dogs where they can't find them. You've also got things like barrels that are sealed and completely sealed, vacuum sealed completely. They've got actual capabilities to completely mask so that when they do take it to a burial site, it's not releasing anything, nothing.
Wow.
So there's just ways around these things that if you know exactly what you're doing, you've been doing it for long enough, it's not overly hard to do. And a lot of it, the other thing is, and we used to get trapped in this a lot, stuff isn't kept at the scene of the crime. It's taken way far away, somewhere else.
I think we can attest to that in at least one case, but okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, the United States is a big place.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of swamps. So it's not easy.
And you speak of swamps. I've never seen a couple of guys, I could show you some pictures just, you know, wading through swamps or getting very close to them. And even up here, fighting off snakes or dealing with snakes and other animals, looking for human remains. So
I'll tell you what also makes the process pretty hard when we're following leads from victims is especially a victim who has DID, dissociative identity disorder.
Right.
A bunch of the memories that will come forward when the programming is breaking down or when their memories are surfacing, those memories are a decade old, for example. But they experience the memories as very current.
Right.
And it sends us on a wild goose chase because we're chasing down something that happened a heck of a long time ago.
Yeah, and I think, I don't want to talk too much out of school, but I think that we encounter that up here, if I'm not mistaken, you know, where upon further, more intensive, I don't want to say interrogation, but interviewing, you find out that you're looking at something that's quite old and, man, yeah.
So. Yeah, and the emotion and the passion that comes with the testimony of the victim is just as real as though it happened yesterday. And so that is part of the hard work. And the Shatter team they're the pros at sifting through this stuff with the victims. They really are. And they're really good at walking through and trying to figure out what is now.
That's
stored, you know?
Yeah, and that's amazing. watching you and the other team members dealing with people with DID or mind control, you know, trauma-based mind control, that have different personalities and just listening and watching. Folks, you wouldn't believe, and Landon and the others, I mean, they're very, very good at what they do. And I'll just say this. It takes a very special person. First of all, it takes a very special person to be able to interview and extract information from a normal psychopath, okay, if there is such a thing. But when you're talking about somebody that's broken down into parts and subparts, I should say. And these guys are extremely good at what they do. And that's why I would urge everyone listening tonight, support SaveThem.org. He's got some... Landon also has some really great information to share with you here momentarily, but they do a heck of a great job and they work constantly. I've never seen anybody work so hard as these people. So I wanted to say that for sure. Okay. So what do you make? We're seeing a lot of, I think we're seeing an uptick, are we not, in this kind of satanic ritual abuse activity? Or has it not changed? Or are we just paying more attention to it? I mean, what is it?
So the dynamic has definitely shifted. I'd say probably in the last decade, maybe. And the paganization of the country has really stepped into the open. And it's... with paganism and associated sub-occult elements of paganism, you have religious beliefs and practices that have an end game directly in opposition to the Bible and the Lord God Almighty. So it's very hedonistic, it's very focused on self, and it is willing to sacrifice and hurt others to your own benefit. So it feeds into a narcissistic society. And we're just kind of seeing all those things coalesce, and a level of cockiness and confidence in these factions to step into the open and say, we own this joint. We're going to do whatever we want now. And to be quite frank, they probably are right to a certain extent, especially in pockets of the country where they have plus positive control of the environment. And we've seen this looking at networks of, let's say, Masons, some of the very horrific cult organizations who control an entire group, entire society, small towns, from the mayor down to the chef at the high school. You know, they control every level of access. And there's not a lot you can do in those environments to really find justice. So what we've seen is our justice system has become a legal system, and the pagans will use the legal system to every advantage. And they really, everything's a means to an end for them. They don't really have a sense of moral code outside of themselves. They are their own God. So we, as the body of Christ, are sitting in the minority in many of these environments. And we still have to stand with truth and justice, but we have to understand our systems are not necessarily playing on our team. And when these crimes happen, and when the Satanism and all this kind of steps into the open, it's because they can. They can put up billboards to say, hey, it's a religious right to kill children in the womb. You know, society will say, well, yeah, I guess that's women's health, the choice to kill a child. Well, that's the biggest bunch of baloney ever, right?
Right.
But people say it with a straight face because pagans believe it. So, you know, and it's look, I have a soft spot for pagans. You know, kind of like Paul did when he went to Athens, right?
Wow. It's okay.
It's not when you grow up pagan. It's when you put your fork in the ground and say, I'm pagan to the death. And Christians be damned. Okay, so that's the difference. I think, so you talk a lot to Steve Quayle, right? He likes to often reference the battle, the seed of man, the seed of the woman, and the seed of the serpent.
Right, right.
Yeah. So you got to understand that it's a declared war between those two factions. And there are going to be foot soldiers that cross the lines in both directions, no doubt. But they are two factions at war. And when you're declared as a foot soldier of the serpent, you're going to do whatever you want. And the Christians have to push that back. And our weapon is light. They cannot function in the light. They can't.
So you're saying complete exposure to their or of their deeds, right?
Absolutely.
Identify the person, identify the deed. And that's what, folks, that's what Landon does. His group, SaveThem.org, that's what they do. And but we have a real problem in this country with the bloodlust for the infanticide, with the child sex trafficking, with a lot of things. Hollywood, you know, I just, everywhere you turn, you seem to see occult symbols everywhere. You know, from Masonic hand symbols and to what's that now? Obviously the Red Shoe Club. I mean, if you want to, do you want to even address what that is or pass?
I don't even know what you're talking about.
Okay, yeah, it's
all I know is Dorothy from The Wizard of Oz.
Yeah, actually, well, that's more, how can I put this, that is more the red shoes on people, that's more of a you're not dealing with, you're dealing with more of a, I can't even describe it, it's kind of a mocking, if you will, of really what's going on. It's diverting attention from the real activities they're doing. But beyond that,
you have things like the bracelets for certain, like the Kabbalah bracelets and stuff like that, where people will wear these subtle things to identify their allegiance and loyalties to whom they serve.
Right. And then you could take it. Yes. And with the other thing I was mentioning, that could be taken. That's really not, I'm just not even going to touch that, just because it just goes on a different path. But okay, so what you're seeing, though, I guess this is important to me. And if you want to get into the really kind of the good news, rather than continue down this road for right now, the good news is, you had just a tremendous save. But before I do that, because I always want to end on a good note, you know, at the end of the show. So, but I want to dispense with this second and final video about this topic, about something that happened in actually two different states. This is a news clip. I played this yesterday. This mentions satanic ritual abuse taking place. It mentions cannibalism. And you know, people need to understand this is going on, and this is what you deal with really all of the time. Cannibalism, too, is just horrific right now. But, folks, check this video clip out. It's 2 minutes, and then Landon on the other side, you can comment on this and sure. Tell me how many times you've seen this, dealt with this, and are dealing with it currently. Go ahead, Eric.
Stories breaking from overnight. We have disturbing new details on a multi-state investigation involving what police call demonic rituals and cannibalism.
The case is centered in Morgan County. That is where Elena Sparenberg is charged with conspiracy to human trafficking and solicitation to murder. Our team found out about her arrest yesterday. Overnight, West Liberty Police explained in detail what she and an inmate are accused of doing. Mariah Congito is at the alert desk. Mariah, that information pretty hard to read.
Yeah, definitely is hard to read. It's very disturbing. It dates back to September when the West Liberty Police Department got a criminal investigation referral from Kentucky Department of Corrections internal affairs investigators regarding intercepted inmate and visitor correspondence. That visitor, Elena Sparenberg. Sparenberg, a former youth counselor out of Illinois, was identified as that visitor who is talking with the Department of Corrections inmate. Now, he is from Harlan County and has been in jail since 2021 on several charges, including murder. During the course of the investigation, police executed a search warrant at Sparenberg's home in Illinois. They seized electronic devices. Police say the correspondence between Sparenberg and the inmate included images, videos, electronic messages, letters, and calls. Their conversations referenced minors and adults regarding sexual abuse, rape, kidnapping, murder, mutilation, torture, satanic rituals, cannibalism, human trafficking, abuse of corpse, collecting human remains for sexual purposes, and more. Police say images depicted minors from a sporting organization. Coaches and parents have been notified, as well as others who police say were possibly in danger as future victims. Sparenberg was extradited from Illinois to Kentucky this week on a Morgan County warrant. And as for the inmate, we are still working to learn his name. Police haven't released it yet. Kristen?
Yeah. Landon, your thoughts?
Par for the course, unfortunately.
Par for the course.
Yeah. Yeah. When you go down into that deep rabbit hole of dark unto dark, these are the practices. So we like to compartmentalize these things into things like human trafficking or cannibalism or abortion or whatever. But you got to understand, these are just different parts of the same ceremonies, the same religious practices, that they're all parts of the same denominational structure of how they worship, the things they do. Satan has a fixed playbook, and it includes all these things. This is, for example, one of the biggest battles we fight with the authorities is when, because they're so compartmentalized into drug unit, human trafficking unit, terrorism unit, et cetera, et cetera. And to just explain to them, they're all the same guys. It's just business diversification. You know, it's just different levels of business, different things they do, but they're all the same guys. That's what this lady in this video is showing you, is that the practices are all there. It's how the Satanist functions. It's how the demon possessed individual functions, because the demonic demands the blood and the flesh of the vulnerable. So it's par for the course.
And this is something, folks, this is something that Landon sees frequently. It comes as no surprise, obviously, as you see to him. This is what he sees frequently. This is what he deals with. This is what he fights against. This is what he's working to expose and to really, you know, get to the bottom of. If we can just switch tack here, and I really want you to tell people your successes, because I find this so encouraging, especially when we have bad news all of the time, every single day. Landon is doing God's work. I believe that. He's saving children every day. He's working to save children every day. And he's had some successes recently. Him and his team have had some successes. Do you want to touch on that now or get into that
sure.
now? Okay.
Yeah,
I'd love for you to share this.
Yeah. So as we hit the end of 24 here, we had a couple big things happen this year. Towards the beginning of the year, we had a four-year trial culminate. And we had two traffickers that got three consecutive life sentences each. And then we also had the first precedent of imprisoning a madam. This was in South Africa. And this had never been done before. And it has sent shockwaves through the enemy networks, because the madams now realize they can go to jail for decades. And that had never, ever happened before. So that has kind of changed the dynamic. And we have worked diligently this year on the pedophile front. We have had multiple pedophiles that we have gotten arrested, and all of their bails have been denied, which means they're going to sit in prison for years before their trial even starts. And one thing I want to highlight on the pedophile cases, I released a podcast earlier in the year titled "Grandpa is a Pedophile?" And there is an entire network of elderly yet still capable men who have been involved in pedophilia for 30, 40 years. and they have groomed their sons and their nephews to come up behind them and take up the reins of the new pedophiles. But these things go into dark military networks and some of the great abuses that took place in the 80s and 90s. They're carrying on today. And we have arrested men in their 60s who are caught in homes abusing 5 and 6 year old children. Okay, now this is it's a demographic that nobody really thinks about, but it's very pervasive because this problem has flown under the radar for so long. Okay, so, but we have good news there. We've been breaking down this network. The other thing we've had some huge success on this year, and this one was hard. This one was real hard. There is an issue in South Africa specifically of illegal mining. And I think everybody's probably heard about blood diamonds and kind of that whole thing up in the Congo. Well, in South Africa, there are hundreds of abandoned mine shafts, hundreds. And there is a lot of gold left in them. And so what's happened is that the crime syndicates have activated and are populating these mines with foreign nationals and children to work the abandoned mine shafts. Well, earlier in the year, the South African government declared war on what are called the Zamazamas, which are the illegal miners of South Africa. Well, we had a hunch, and it was a pretty well-founded hunch, that a large percentage of those in the mines were actually being trafficked. So we joined up with 8 different authority partners and nonprofits, and we went in and extracted 109 individuals from 2 mine shafts. Turns out over 50% of them were trafficked and 30% were children. Okay. Now,
wow.
The authorities were stunned. They were literally about to deploy the special forces across South Africa and start blowing up all the mines and just killing everybody inside. And we proved to them that at a humanitarian level, they could not do that. And so very recently, through a lot of pressure, efforts have gone underway to actually smoke out, as they call it, to smoke out the people in the mines. And within the past 2 weeks, we've got over 100 children that have been rescued through these operations, and over 1,000 miners have been pulled, M-I-N-E-R-S, pulled out of these mines. And again, about 50% of them are trafficked. They're taken from their home countries. They're dumped in these holes. Some of these guys that we pulled out last week, they've been in the hole since January. Think about that. These holes go 4 football fields deep in the ground. And you've lived underground eating cornmeal and drinking sulfuric water since January. The fact that these guys are even alive is a miracle.
I'd say.
So we're just very thankful to have been part of that. There's some great operations going on right now. Hundreds and thousands of guys are still underground. Our teams, together with the authorities, are pulling these guys out with ropes one at a time, trying to get them out of these holes in the ground. So pray for these teams, pray for the guys down below. But Doug, in the one forest where we work, these operations currently, there are 400 abandoned mines in one forest.
Man.
Okay. And we've got over 100 just in one shaft. So,
you're talking about that number being operational using child and migrants?
Yes.
Is that what you're saying?
Yes. You should have seen the pictures of these boys we pulled out last week, Doug. They're 14 years old.
Right.
I mean, they're kids. They should be playing soccer and hanging out with their buddies. And they're down in a mine working to their death, basically.
What happens when they can't, what happens if they get hurt or can't work there any longer? I mean, what?
No, they die.
They die.
They're killed.
Yeah.
Yeah. We, in the extraction last week, we pulled up 6 dead bodies just in the first 39 guys that were pulled out.
So wow,
it's pretty bad. The other thing I want people to understand is there is a And look, the South Africans don't have a real good way to categorize this, so they're just calling it ISIS, for whatever that means to you. But think of it as a just an extreme Muslim caliphate kind of group is right. operating in Mozambique, and they are liquidating Christians in the villages. And many of the Mozambican children that we've rescued are the children of Christians, and their parents are dead.
Wow.
These children literally have nowhere to go. They've been thrown in a hole and told that they will work until they die. So we are working diligently with the authorities to find a path forward for these children who have no family, they have no country, they have no hope, but we have to help them. Somebody has to help them.
Right.
So, yeah, anyways, without getting overly dramatic, because it's just heartbreaking, man.
Yeah, I would say. Yeah. Now, from the rescues, you obviously, I suspect you would have arrests being made.
Yes. So we had 9 guys arrested last week.
9. Okay.
9. And here's a huge win from this year. We were able to, through this proof, we've been able to give the South African National Prosecuting Authority, which is like their U.S. Attorney's Office, Department of Justice, the ammunition to start prosecuting illegal mining bosses under the human trafficking rubric.
Well, that does make sense, but go on. Yeah. Yeah.
What that means is instead of getting a slap on a wrist and getting deported to their home country, they're going to be locked up in South African prisons for life. And you don't really make it out of South African prisons.
I'll bet you. Yeah. So when they see you coming, I'm sure they like to see you coming, right? Yeah.
Well, they fight back.
Oh, yeah.
They fight back. One of the police guys that went out to one of these got hit with an AK-47 bullet right in his foot. Three of the guys who were shooting at the team met their death. So this isn't tiddlywinks.
No.
Yeah.
Wow. That's great news. And yeah. Folks, again, this is a work that Landon does on behalf of his, I mean, obviously his organization is savethem.org. The link will be in the program description box at HagmanPI.com. And I really want people to support Landon, support Save Them. The work that they do is just tremendous. Now, what can you say with respect to what's taking place in the U.S. right now? I know you're international. Yeah. I know that you're focused on other countries, but there's got to be a pretty large pipeline coming out of the U.S. given the southern border situation and even the north. But what's going on here?
So the syndicates are global. I think that's something to understand. So the syndicates are global. So when we get the Chinese syndicates pulling the refined gold out of South Africa, it's getting sold in America. So this, you know, these syndicates are all over the place. We've got a direct connection between the drug cartels cooking drugs in South Africa, shipping them to the guys in South America, and then selling it right up through the southern border. We've got Nigerian scam artists operating their call centers in Los Angeles. The Nigerian crime syndicates are operating in Nebraska big time. So, you know, the less you think that anything is isolated these days, it's not. It's really not. The groups that are coming up across the border, it's super sad, okay, when you've got a 7-year-old girl that shows up with a placard on her chest, which is just a piece of paper that says, send me to this address, here's the phone number. And CBP processes the girl, checks them into HHS, and that girl gets put on a bus to Ohio and disappears.
On the card, on the placard?
On the piece of paper.
Yeah, okay.
Correct. That is firsthand testimony of the Senate whistleblowers that we're working with. at the processing facilities in Southern California. I mean, this isn't just like somebody told me over a beer. This isn't the congressional record. Okay.
Man.
So that is happening all over the place. You got to understand, though, the cartels are making hand over fist, just driving people up to the border. It's all they got to do.
Just
drive them up to the border.
Okay.
Hundreds of thousands. I think Luke was telling me, Luke from Shatter Ops, he was telling me the other day the guys are making hundreds of millions a week.
Hundreds of millions a week.
Yeah, just driving people to the border.
I mean, who's paying them? Who's paying these criminals?
It's multifaceted. So you've got the kind of the nonprofit bad money situation where they are giving them the money to pay for it.
But so you're talking about NGOs. NGOs, right?
Yeah, you hear about the Soros funded NGOs and all that. That definitely is going on. You got Jill Biden's NGO down in either Honduras or Guatemala. Not a good operation. But what happens a lot, and the more common thing that our guys are finding when they speak to the families, is that people are putting up their farms for sale. They're putting up their house for sale. They're basically using it as collateral to send their children to a better life in America. To this day, that is still the narrative on the ground in Central America.
Let me walk through this, and because we hear about all of the things going on, all of the people coming across the border, but no one really talks about what's going on down there. And right. I know right now, Michael Yon's down there. Oscar Ramirez is down there. Ben Bergwam, I think, is now in the, he's near their southern border. By the way,
plug for the muckraker work. The muckraker work on this is excellent.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Thank excellent. You, muckraker. On X, muckraker. You'll follow him. I think that is the screen name, right?
Yeah.
Muckraker. Okay. So, you're down there, you're a family, you're a normal Central American family, or on the poor side. You want to give your, I don't know, as crazy as this sounds, you might say, well, what are these parents thinking? But let's say you have, now let's say you're a single mom and you want to give your 8-year-old daughter a chance. What do you do? You pick up the phone, you grab a donkey, you ride into town. I mean, folks, I know. Okay. But I mean, how does that even start?
So people have networks, right? Social networks. And like we talk about in Africa, the bush telegraph is way more effective and efficient than the internet even. This is just something about personal networks on the ground, and people have these networks.
Right.
And they also have networks of intimidation, mafia, cartels, this kind of stuff. But people know that if they want to send their kid to, Norte Americano, they want to send it up to the United States, Estados Unidos, then they know who they can call to put their house up for collateral and send their daughter for a better life. And
somebody comes, they pick up the daughter and what, 50 grand, the equivalent of 50 grand, we'll say, or 10 grand, or, I mean, how much roughly?
So the numbers we've had have fluctuated. The Chinese tend to pay more.
Okay.
So you're talking north of 50,000 for the Chinese, they'll pay more. The Central Americans, we're talking 10 to 35 is kind of. Okay. The rain. It's, we've been told recently, like we actually talked to a crowd who actually made it this way from Uzbekistan. They went to Mexico City and made their way up. They said that 4 or 5 years ago, they were paying 35, 40 grand. Now they're paying 10 to 15. Market prices fluctuate. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And people will put up their little small holding, their farm, and they'll send, Juanita north. And And I don't mean to, I don't mean to use Spanish names disparagingly or flippantly. I mean, but this is the reality, man.
Right. I mean,
like,
yeah.
Disproportionately, by the way, disproportionately high percentage of Guatemalan children.
Okay.
Coming north.
So,
and let me tell you, when the Guatemalan president tried to push back, he was threatened to have his funding withheld from the United States government. And he basically backed off.
Who in the U.S. government threatened that? I know it's the Biden criminal family, yeah. criminal regime. But who specifically would be in a position within the executive branch, within the cabinets, of threatening the Guatemalan president? Based on
I would this. Guess I would guess it would come through the ambassadorial channels. I would guess.
Okay.
That would be the connection to the executive. I guess Department of State could do it as well, but probably not. It's probably more just directly from the executive because, and I will stand corrected. I might be wrong on this, but Guatemala may have been Honduras, but I think it's Guatemala, where they were beginning to investigate Jill Biden's nonprofit. And they were told to stand down or they were going to lose all American funding. Very similar to what happened in the Ukraine situation, right?
And if you want to talk, by the way, that I think what you're talking about happened, what, 3-4 months ago, maybe?
It was within the last year.
Yeah, okay. Because I remember it could be longer than, obviously, 3-4 months, but because, you know, time flies. But, okay, so... All right. So Joe Biden, I mean, does that imply or suggest that she knows what's going on? That hey, you know, our commodity is little children or people. It doesn't matter. But our commodity is getting people from there to here. Would she know that?
I don't see how an organized crime syndicate can't know what their commodities are, but I don't know that they care. They just care about the money. So,
there you go.
You know, you don't need to see a face, to know that you're making money on the exchange as long as the bucks are in the bank. See, here's the thing. This is one of the deals when you get into the hundreds of thousands. So we say 500,000 kids are missing.
Right.
The children become a statistic.
Exactly.
And when you move the mindset of the population into trying to comprehend statistics, you've won the battle because they can't comprehend any longer the individual. And each one of us is an individual, right? If my daughter was taken and sent to a foreign nation and raped until death, I'd kind of be pissed off. And it wouldn't matter if it was one or 1,000,001, right?
Uh-huh.
So we've lost the humanity of the equation even when we start getting into statistics. It's overwhelming.
You know, just on that subject alone, okay, folks, look, you know the backstory. I've buried two children, okay? And it's when a police officer or a law enforcement officer or a district attorney or an ADA says, well, you know, it's basically reference your child as a statistic. All right. That pisses you off. And if it doesn't piss you off, man, I don't know what the hell's wrong with you. So when you look at what Landon is doing and all of these are somebody's children.
Yeah.
Somebody held them when they were just born. Yeah. Somebody, I'd like to think somebody gave them love. And watched them grow and saw them swing on a swing. So damn it. Okay. Yeah, these criminal bastards out there running this child sex trafficking ring, damn them to hell. Okay. And that's not using the Lord's name in vain. I mean, please God damn them to hell, because what they're doing, this is beyond criminal. And for Americans to be involved in this, excuse my pissed off nature at the moment. But this hacks me off beyond any belief. So I think we might be on an affiliate. If any fines are levied, just let me know. All right. So, all right. So, but Mayorkas, okay, as a DHS secretary, sit in Congress and lie his backside off saying, well, you know, well, you know, we have the most secure border in the world. Please tell me what the story is with that guy. Is he just corrupt? Is he stupid? Is he stupid and corrupt? Is he corrupt and evil? Is he evil? Is he demonic? Is he demonic, stupid, evil? And please help me out with this guy.
So I remember, I don't know, maybe let's say 10, 20 years ago. I don't remember. I was listening to a sermon and it was talking about the Ten Commandments. And the pastor was saying, you know, a lot of times we spend all of our energy focused on, let's say, the first few commandments, honoring God, et cetera. Or we talk about not murdering, whatever. And he said, you know what? Ultimately, though, comes down, I think he said the ninth commandment. And he said, if you're willing to bear false witness against your neighbor, you'll do anything. And at the end of the day, we are run by liars.
Ugh.
And liars will do anything to cover their butt.
Sure. Sure.
So that's the sickness of our society. You know, when I went to business school, they taught us how to get a degree in marketing. Marketing's lying. It's manipulation. It's how to control people with your words. You know, and they didn't say that.
Isn't that, I don't want to say giving it too much credit or softening or kind of making it sound more elaborate, but it's, yeah, okay. No, I get it.
We're a society of lies and consumption and hedonism. Yeah. And that's who, you know, we get the rulers that we deserve.
We get the government we work for, earn, and deserve. Absolutely.
Right. Absolutely. So when we are out there fighting for children, when we're trying our best to live out the book of James and stand in the gap for widows and orphans, it is a misnomer to think that a government agency that operates on statistics will ever care about the individual.
Right.
They just don't care. It's not in their scope of understanding. It's not in their scope of reward. Yeah. Show me the reward and I'll show you the behavior.
Oh,
they're not rewarded for going out of their way to save an individual. The question is always how many. I even get this in the nonprofit thing. They're like, how many did you rescue this year? I'm like, what does it matter? Yeah. If I rescued your Thank daughter, you. You'd probably care. That's all you need to know.
Thank you. And that's one question that really hacks me off beyond anything. How many did you rescue? You know, you could rescue one or two or three, whatever. But it makes the world of difference to that one, two, or three that you do rescue. But you, on the other hand, have gone well beyond that, and you've got you have the successes to show. And I'm so proud to know you, folks. My guest is Landon, or as I call him, Brandon.
Let's go.
I get Landon from Save Them. Let's go, Brandon.
Let's go.
Save them.org, great organization. Before we get back to Landon, I just want to mention, I want to just briefly break with this, healthwithdoug.com, folks, healthwithdoug.com. Look, a cutting 2024 study shows collagen can have a drastically positive effect on skin health. I've seen this work on me. All right, the study found that women, well, in my case, I'm a guy, who take daily collagen drink, see a noticeable reduction in wrinkles, firmer, more hydrated skin. And hydration's always been my problem. And guys, I'm talking to you too, okay? You can benefit from this. But it's important not to just use any random collagen. Make sure you use a collagen that's backed by real science. That's why I use this amazing multi-collagen. And absolutely love how it transformed my skin for the better. I've got the elasticity built back in. You know, John Moore talks about and others talk about, but unlike a poorly sourced collagen you'll typically find in store shelves, it uses the top five critically important types of collagen for skin health. The unique formulation in it is designed to reduce visible signs of aging, reduce wrinkles, promote a youthful glow, promote elasticity and skin hydration. And hydration to me is important for health. The skin is the largest organ of the body. You need that. do your skin a favor and grab some while it's 51% off during their holiday promotion only at healthwithdoug.com. Plus, order today to receive free VIP life health and fitness coaching for life, a free ebook titled The 14 Foods for Amazing Skin, a 60-day satisfaction guarantee, and free shipping with your order. Once again, that's healthwithdoug.com, healthwithdoug.com. And folks, I have to say that five key types of collagen you need from four different sources, they're all in there. They're all in there. All right. Again, I want to thank my guest, LandonSaveThem.org. The link will be in the program description box at HagmanPI.org. I would really appreciate you supporting this man, this team's work, because as we were saying, you save one child, two children, three children, whatever. That's fantastic, and you make a difference in people's lives. But when he's doing it in an incredible manner, saving multitudes, and I thank him for that. Lennon, are you working at all with Craig Sawyer and other groups aside from Shatter Ops? Are you engaged in other Go ahead.
Yes, sir. Yeah. So there's a whole network of guys. Craig and his team, definitely close partners, and very happy to know them and honored to work with them. They've got a huge target on their back. They take on some of the more controversial kind of things, and Craig takes a lot of fire, you know. But they're doing good work. We work very closely with them.
Okay. And from the chat, Julie, Landon, please pass on to Luke. Hello from Julie in Oklahoma. Julie, you should be getting something here in a couple of days. God bless you. From me, you know what it is, but, I'm looking at it's some of the comments and then a couple of emails I've gotten since we've been live. I guess I'll toss this one out to you. Are you optimistic that stopping the flow into the U.S. and this is a long email, but I'll just put it down to this, by stopping the flow of unaccompanied minors as well as children and others into the U.S., will that curb the child sex trafficking and the human trafficking? Period. Or question mark.
It'll slow what has been near exponential growth.
Okay.
The part that we keep not talking about are the mirror image of the unaccompanied minors from down south, and it's the 500,000 American children.
Okay.
It's which have accumulated over the years.
Accumulate how? Because again, I think I know the answer to this, but you use the word accumulated down there. So accumulated how?
So children are disappearing from American homes all the time, every year.
Thank you.
Yeah, loads of kids disappear. And it is not just an Amber Alert, you know, a dad is angry with his wife kind of situation. It is regular.
Why aren't we hearing about that? Maybe that question was asked too early, but why aren't we hearing about the children missing from America, American homes? Because right. There are plenty, but we're not hearing about this.
So this is... This takes us back to child trafficking 101, which is old school. Yep. The bad guys go for the kid who's smoking behind the bleachers, has no family, is aging out of the foster system.
Yep.
And they just scoop them up and they're gone. That is so common. It's not even real. And nobody cares. Nobody cares about an orphan that's got nowhere to go. Only the church cares. What does it say? More than 1,000
kids reported missing. in Ohio this year in extraordinary surge.
Yep.
Last year.
Absolutely.
Last year.
Yeah. I remember being in Pennsylvania. I think it was last year. We were just there over a weekend and we just quickly checked the missing child statistics. And in one Saturday, 17 children in Philadelphia disappeared.
How's that not news down there, here, everywhere?
People just don't report on it. People don't care. I don't understand why. You know, the only ones you hear about are when there's a child that somebody cares a lot about that has gone missing and, you know, they find the body in the woods and there was a search party and this kind of stuff. And it usually has to do with the fact that there's something extraordinary that went on. You know, maybe a crazy uncle or something weird, okay? Some crazed out guy. But the regular disappearance of children for trafficking is not reported on. I think it was in 2021, maybe. I'd have to check my records. They had 42 kids disappear from an orphanage in Oklahoma. And it didn't even make the news.
Okay.
Okay. And, you know, and nobody even cared to follow up on it. You know, thankfully, Oklahoma now is one of the best states for human trafficking, but human trafficking task forces. But it's because eventually there were some dudes with stones who stood up and said, we're sick of what's going on, because they were cops. They were ICE agents. And they're like, none of this. And so there's a guy named Kevin Metcalf working out of Oklahoma. He's amazing. And his network is kicking in teeth and Oklahoma is turning the tide. But it's rare. And it's usually the guys who have seen the nonsense. So it's like one of the ICE whistleblowers who was transporting kids and delivering them to MS-13. Yeah. He had to finally just blow the whistle because he couldn't handle his conscience, right? Yeah. Those are so few, man. So few and far between. The other thing, again, nobody wants to hear about this, but we have so many coven networks in the United States and closed society cult groups where children are born into these networks of people. They're not registered. They don't exist on any government roll.
There's no birth certificate, right?
Nope, nothing. Yeah. They're born into closed environments for the purposes of being abused. And people don't want to believe that. And they'll say, oh, that's made up. It's only made up because you're not in the network and you don't know about it.
Right.
Right. Yeah. Try telling that kid it's made up.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And is it our job to convince people? You know, I have a hard time. I have a hard time with this because, which is kind of the reason I wrote my book. In a somewhat, I changed the names and locations and stuff, but the facts are true. But I have a hard time with people who don't really understand that this stuff exists. I mean, going all the way back to MK Ultra, you know, going back to the various operations subparts of all of that, you know, I have a hard time with that and the fracturing of people's psyches, the military working with this, the Nazis working, going back generations. I didn't mean to get you off track, but you know, when you're talking with people, they look at you like you're crazy, you know? So the problem I had was how do you tell the story, a true story and have people read the true story when ordinarily they wouldn't read that? So you kind of fictionalize it with names and stuff and you know, say, yeah, this is a novel, but no, it's true. Mm-hmm. So how can we get people to pay more attention to this?
Yeah, I mean, so this like Oklahoma. This always comes back to, I think we've talked about this before, the Overton window. It's the degree of possibilities that people are willing to entertain as probable or possible. And you can't jump straight to crazy. So I am working with a longtime field partner who you would recognize if you saw him. He looks like Baphomet. And he He's an elder at his church, okay? And he is trying to get his church, who comes from kind of a traditional cloth, to just start to entertain the possibility of some of the extreme brokenness of the people in the church, and get the elders and get those in positions of responsibility to believe that there is evil in the world. You know, the church doesn't believe in evil.
I have a hard time with that, but okay.
Okay, they don't genuinely believe in evil. They don't believe in the depravity of Satan and the extents that he and his henchmen will go to destroy the created order. They just don't practically believe it until they see it, touch it, taste it, and then they believe it. That's why you always hear that a guy wakes up one day and his daughter was kidnapped, and suddenly he realizes that children get kidnapped. But to that point, he had never even entertained the thought that it could happen to him until it did.
And sadly,
like a parent whose child, like, you know, even fails a course in school or gets in with the wrong kids or, you know, starts using drugs or something. You don't believe that it could happen to your kid until it does. But so when other kids have it happen to them, you don't really have a degree of empathy to associate with them because it's never happened to you.
You don't have to, like, I don't have to stick my hand down the garbage disposal when it's on to know that, man, it's going to hurt, like, you know, I'll get out. But I know that they're, I ought not to do that. And I know that, you know, the consequences, but isn't that kind of like the same thing or no?
Here's why it's different. Because when we talk about, so let's talk about DID and mind control. All right. You're talking about the things of the mind, and you're talking about the things of the spirit. You can't see it, touch it, taste it. When you talk about someone being kidnapped and raped and sold for money, you can kind of comprehend that. You can even comprehend somebody being sold for sex videos for pornography because you can see it.
Right.
But when you talk about the melee of the inner working of the systems of the brain and the spiritual destruction, the demonization of personalities within an individual who has spent decades being controlled and destroyed by foot soldiers of Satan with rituals and techniques that go back millennia. Not even just to the Nazis and stuff. The Nazis just were really good at perfecting and repeating, because they were able to use drugs and different technologies, which didn't exist a thousand years ago.
Oh.
You know, so you just look at somebody and you're like, oh, you're crazy. I think you should go see a psychiatrist and they can drug you and we don't have to deal with you. So we're trying to change the paradigm, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. And God bless this elder partner friend of ours who's he was one of Russ's understudies, right? He's trying to open the eyes of the bell curve of the church, and it's hard. It is very hard.
Oh, man. Okay. And folks, look, I know this is pretty heavy to consider on a Friday night going into the weekend. Friday the 13th, though, so I guess we get props for that, right?
Perfect.
Again, my guest, super, super. I'll tell you what, I love this guy. I love him as a brother, and I have the utmost respect for him. His name is Landon. He's with SaveThem.org, and if you're looking for someone to support, I'm telling you, his work is unmatched. I met him through Russ. I've watched him do things that I can't. The work that he does and the constant level of work he does, I cannot speak more highly of him and about his work. He's very effective. And I'll say this, I would not want to get, I wouldn't want to get on his bad side. I'll just say that for any reason. But he's very intelligent. I'll just say Ivy League educated, but we won't hold that against him, and he doesn't hold it against himself. So, but that's where he, that. But he's extremely intelligent in matters of the mind and of the spirit, and he does a lot of great things. And that's LandonSaveThem.org. Okay, wherever you want to take this conversation, I find all of this the subject matter fascinating.
Yeah.
I know that you know, I want to ask you just a question. Mm-hmm. You've worked. I asked for your help on something, and you've worked cases, assassination cases, attempted assassination cases, and you really. Are just an incredible investigator. What are your thoughts on perhaps someone being under mind control? Now, I know those are charged. That's a charged phrase, mind control. But someone being convinced to do something that they wouldn't ordinarily do. Someone will say with, 1,500 or 1,530 SAT scores and, you know, pretty intelligent person. Are we seeing mind control being used in, you know, for, I'll just, are we seeing mind control being used perhaps in those situations, in those couple of situations that you're familiar with?
Yeah. So I think we have to differentiate between two different phenomena.
Okay.
There is mind control, which is the use of propaganda to convince people to do things that they otherwise would not do. And those are clear thinking people. So through the removal of contrary information and the constant reinforcement of certain narratives, people will, as a group, do things that in their own individual rational mind, they probably wouldn't do. So that's a type of mind control. It's at a society level. And that's how groups have used television and marketing and internet to sway populations.
Right.
That is very different from someone who is activated to conduct an assassination attempt.
Okay, that define activated.
Okay, so it's a different type of mind control. That is someone who has had their mind altered, has had their personalities split and controlled through proactive mechanisms of control. And there are known ways to do this. So through trauma, people will split into alters, and their alters, when they're introduced to the system, they can be controlled and made to do things, and they're often demonized. So, and what we've learned a lot this past year, I've learned this a lot this past year through some of the work that Shatter has been sharing with me, is I didn't quite understand how important the role of the demonization was.
Okay.
And the military type programming requires demonization. And why is that? And this is what I hadn't comprehended up to this point. It's required because the demonization of an alter, of a subpersonality, however you want to say it, creates a veil. And it creates an inability for that subpart to see truth and to have free will. So the demons create a dark layer of control over the subpart, an alter, so that they will only do what they were told to do. They don't. They live in a prison. They operate within a prison, and they're never able to know that they even have a choice. So the first thing that Shatter will do is they will deliver a personality of the demonization so that the part understands they have free will.
Okay. And folks, hey, folks in the chat, are you following this? Just a simple yes or no, because it's important. I really believe it's important for people to understand this. Knowing what I know now, and it's just not a lot, I mean, probably less than half of what Landon knows, but so you've got a part within, a person has their own personality, their own person, right? Mm-hmm. And through trauma-based mind control or some other, perhaps trauma or some type of process, that subpart gets broken down. But also in what you said, especially with the military, demonized. What's the process of demonization? How does that happen?
Right. So not especially the military. I'm just saying that it's core to the occult practices, and the military has leveraged it as a core competency.
Okay.
Because it's required.
But how does one do that? I mean, believing I know the answer to this, but how does one become demonized, having a subpart demonized?
Ritual.
Okay.
Impartation.
Yeah. All right.
Horrible things.
And I believe you and I have sat in dark vehicles together late at night with Russ, or as Russ was doing other things and dealing with those type of people, right?
Yeah. And look, when I say military, I'm just saying a state actor entity that is using people for their own purposes. These elements are rogue. These are not, you know, recently I went to a Black Rifle coffee shop, right?
Okay.
That's good coffee.
Good coffee.
And they got pictures of,
I have to admit that,
helicopters. They got, you know, a love of the servants of the armed forces, as do I. I love our armed forces. That's not who we're talking about. We're talking about rogue elements that are leveraging the structures and infrastructure of our state to control people for rogue agendas. And they happen to come out of the military.
Got it. Right. Which
they're okay. On the other team. They're serving the serpent.
Right. Right. And again, people need to understand that. And who would their handler be? Ordinarily, in a case like that.
This is interesting. So the levels of overlap between the occult and the rogue military are, you can't tease them apart.
Mm.
And they're at a global network level.
Okay.
Yeah. We're actually kind of stepping into some poo here.
Yeah, and forgive me for dragging you down this road. But I know that, you know, once I begin talking about this, I mean, I see so many areas of exploration and things that need to be exposed. And, yeah. You know, it's really something. So, okay, we can, let's readjust here.
Well, let me just say that the common denominator is the control of people and systems and the willingness to use the vulnerable to achieve any end. Okay, so that's the common denominator. And so when you have individuals all over the globe who serve different systems, different networks, different groups, and they're willing to abuse other people for their own end, those people are on the same team. They're denominations of Satan. Just like we have denominations in the Christian church, they've got their denominations. But their rituals are the same. Like, no matter what denomination you go into of Christianity, you're probably going to have baptism and communion, right?
Correct.
They do the same thing. Satan has his rules. Follow them.
A little bit differently.
Opposite.
Yeah, opposite. Upside down.
Yep.
All right.
Yeah.
Man. Okay.
It's not to scare people, but I mean, it is, again, the church doesn't believe in evil.
Going back to that, I just, if you believe, but they do believe in God, right? I mean, you believe in good, you believe in God. Am I right on the churches that don't believe in evil? How can you believe in God and not believe evil exists?
So Now we go into the definition of the word faith.
Okay.
Okay, so faith is action. So I encourage anybody to go into the biographies of Bonhoeffer.
Oh, yes.
Okay, and to really understand the intricate relationship between faith and action, biblically.
Okay.
Okay, and the problem is we have a church filled with faith and no action. And we also have parts of the church that are full of action with no faith. Call it social justice.
And I can, okay, I can relate to action without faith. I can relate. I mean, I can understand that.
Yeah.
Let me just say. But relying or just ignoring everything else and hiding in a prayer closet, if that's what you were called to do, I guess, okay. But somebody like me, I'm not called to do that. I want to go out and kick some doors in and take some, you know, kick some behind and take some names. And, well, you know me, you know.
No comment.
No. Don't stand in front of him. He's armed. Okay. Just give me something to shoot. But so, yeah, okay. All right.
Okay, but nobody is called to sit in a prayer closet and do nothing.
All right.
Because at the very least, every disciple of Jesus Christ is called to spread the good news of Jesus.
Okay. All right.
So if you sit in your prayer closet and do nothing, Jesus told us how he feels about the lukewarm church.
Exactly.
It makes him want to puke.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, so nobody's called to that.
Okay.
That's just a cop out.
Okay. Which I've always thought that. I've given the pass to people that say that's what they've been called to do, essentially. But, you know, most are physically infirmed or aged to the point where
and that's not what we're talking about,
exactly.
Right? We're talking about people who are using sloth. Or leaning on prayer as their excuse for their sloth.
Yes. Yeah.
And that's not acceptable.
No, it's not. So, okay. So we have, I've got to ask you kind of on the tail end of the other question or the question from email. How can we fight back as people? And folks, again, please support Landon. Please support SaveThem.org, as well as Shatter Ops and what have you. But these are the guys that are on the ground working the fight. But how can people best help you? What if somebody knows of a situation? They suspect something is going on. Can they contact you? And would you look into that? Because they certainly can't call the police or how things go with the police. They don't operate too well on suspicions of, hey, there's a satanic ritual going on down at the field house down there. And, you know, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So again, you know, don't jump to crazy.
Right.
We're going to keep crazy to ourselves. But everybody, including the law, cares about the abuse of children. So my message is always this, like we very much appreciate everybody's support for us to do the mission the Lord has called us to. And it's a pretty crap thing. But we do it. You know, we're obedient and we're thankful for people's support for us to go do that because gas ain't cheap and it's not free and it takes gas to go places. Okay, so that's
afraid to ask you how many miles you put on this year on your body. It's got to be, you know, tens of thousands, I would imagine.
Dude.
Because I know you're up here more than I can count, you know. And I love it when you come up because the discussions are great, but everything is fabulous. Gas is not cheap. Your labor is worth something. And certainly the battle that you fight, the venue in which you fight is very dangerous and you don't want to be there too long, you know? So,
No, for sure. So, I mean, look, that's just the reality of this. Nobody's complaining about it. We just have realities that we got to pay for stuff, and Shell doesn't like it when I try to take gas without money. So,
well, yeah, they frown upon that a little bit, but that's all right.
So there's that. But my message really to folks is that what's happened in all of this, and I encourage everyone to dial back from the macro level narrative. Ooh. Watching the Hagman report, like the Hagman report is going to give us what we need to know about the macro level narrative, the things that are going on at the top level of society.
Right.
I do not have to spend 10 hours a day worrying about the macro level narrative. I live in small town, Alabama type of situation. I've got a job. I've got a church. My kids are in school, whatever. The Lord has put you somewhere for a purpose in time and space. So if you're spending all your time worrying about, and not to blow apart the situation, but drones in New Jersey and you live in Alabama, it's good to make a noise if a noise needs to be made. But it is not your fight to sit on your hands all day long being concerned about drones when you've got starving children in the street or, you know, like I told you, the Nigerian crime syndicates are big time operating in Nebraska.
And if you're in Nebraska, listen up.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I mean, get busy about watching out for those kids. And, you know, if you live in a neighborhood that has a lot of vulnerable children or there's an orphanage or foster care kids, take an interest in your community. Focus. Watch. Be available locally. Work with your church. You know, work with your church. And, you know, a lot of, I have a heart for the de-churched, okay? But the body of Christ is meant to work as a body. We are not individual cells floating in the universe trying to accomplish our own mission.
Okay.
We have to work together. So find people in your community who are like-minded believers and care about the abused children in your community. You don't have to go to crazy. You don't have to Satan hunt or Satanist hunt. You know what I mean? Just look for how you can help the kids in your community. It's going to take different forms. You know, there's a lady I work with in Georgia. Her whole thing is helping the foster kids. That's it. That's her mission. And she does it 24/7. And it is an admirable call. And when she finds out that some foster kids are being trafficked, they do call us and they do send us information and we can take it from there. But locally, they got to help those kids get on their feet. So it's that kind of thing. You know, let me give you an example. So that lady told me her story about this kid. He had just aged out of the foster system. She found him sleeping under a bridge. She took the time to get out of her car, walk over to him and say, "Hey, buddy, what are you doing?" And he said, "I aged out. I got no money. I can't get an interview because I don't have any clothes." So she took him to Walmart and bought him some clothes so he could do an interview to get a job at Wendy's. It's that simple. And that child's life will be forever changed. That's the kind of stuff we can be doing locally just by caring, right? So anyways.
And you know, I know somebody in the chat, single mom of two, husband died when the children were young. It's people like that we can reach out and help.
Absolutely.
You know, it's the widows with children and the orphans out there, like Steve Quayle talks about, that we should be helping. And you're right. You know, it's okay to have a handle on things. I like the drones. It's okay. Or like whatever thing might be going on a national level or even international. But look, you go out your door and look around. You'll find a place to start.
I mean, newsflash, the drones are not coming to your house.
Well, if they do, then we can deal with that.
I mean, the pejorative view. I mean, Mr. Hagman's right. Going to shoot them down. I get that. He's got EMF equipment. I get that. But, you know, but for the average person, they're not coming to my house, right? So that's one.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah. So, I mean, 95% or larger of the population of America. Is that gonna change your day tomorrow? Okay, probably not.
It's not that you can change a life tomorrow just by being involved in somebody's world.
And there it is. And that's what I found out too. And folks, if I can again sing his praises, Landon is probably the master of being able to change people's lives for the better. And his organization Save Them is just that. I cannot talk highly enough about them. It's from what I've seen them do, the lives they changed, and even some of the circumstances which they get into to save lives is something far beyond anything that you can ever imagine. That guy there has got some guts, and he's got some faith, and he's got a lot of great works, and I appreciate everything he does. We've got about 20 minutes left, so I want you to just download if you want, or unload, or say wherever you want to go, whatever you think is important, please take it.
Yeah, so I think one of the things I was thinking about right now is just issuing a bit of a clarion call to those dudes in their mom's basement playing video games. we have a generational sloth problem of irresponsible men. And yet we've got I thought of this when you talked about the young mother with the two kids. And right. If those dudes would get out of their mom's basement and go marry one of these young ladies and raise those kids, our country would be changed.
In other words, those potato munching people in the basement, the guys in the basement playing the video games, get out and do something good. And first of all, get yourself cleaned up and get yourself right, and then go out and
be a man and raise children to the glory of God. Yeah. And raise somebody else's children, since you can't be bothered to get out of the basement. But still, I mean, these kids need fathers. And I know Luke over at Shatter, this is his number one issue, is men in society.
I know that, and is that kind of a recent bias or tilt in a certain direction, or is it, he's always been like that by, he's really seems to be working in that realm more.
I think the more and more you see kind of a lot of the abuse that we come across, you find that if only there had been a dad in the home who cared about his kids. And again, I mentioned it earlier about the grandpas. Almost all of these kids, the grandpa was abusing them. I mean, that's horrible.
If I can say this, I remember, I believe you were with me. With us, Russ, myself, and the team, and we split up, and this was in Eastern Ohio, and I ended up interviewing or being part of an interview with a man, an elderly man in a nursing home, and he was a pedophile.
Yeah.
It blew my mind.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's something to the pedophile thing. It's hard to explain. It's as though they've crossed a line that they can't come back from. I don't know what that is. I don't try to understand it for sure. But you almost, I've never seen a pedophile rehabilitated. Let me just say that plainly. You have to remove them from the situation, and most often from society.
In my experience, I've never seen one either.
No, yeah. when you cross the line of abusing a child, I just don't know that you come back from that. And that's between them and the Lord at that point. Honestly. Wow. Honestly. I was in a Bible study recently, and there was one lady. She was really saddened because the story of this one woman who had killed her children hit the news, and she was just asking the question in the Bible study, like, how do you find forgiveness in your heart for someone who killed their children? You know, because now this lady was saying she found Christ in jail, and you know, she's redeemed and saved by the blood of the Lamb and all of this stuff. And I don't doubt that. And sometimes, you know, the more important thing is that people find the Lord and they have an eternity with him. And we don't need to understand that. We have to just leave those things in his realm. You know, we're not judge. He is. But
are you I mean, that's one thing I've been very wary of when people say, well, you know, I found Jesus and they've been behind bars for however many years. And, you know, I'm a changed person. You talk with them and they can be somewhat convincing, but you know, how do you prove that? Look,
the proof's in the pudding, right? We're yeah. told about the fruit of the Spirit, and look, I've worked in prison ministry, and it's amazing. You see people at their bottom, and they do start. They are reborn, and that's why I do say I've seen people live a totally new life who are convicted of murder or fraud or something, but I've just never seen a pedophile redeemed.
I 100% agree with you on that. And I think there is a special something, well, not special, but something very, 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 I think it's inherently evil.
It's evil.
Yeah. Yeah.
They've given themselves to evil.
Yeah.
So anyways, so that's just kind of something I just ask people, if you ever have any indication, and most of the times when a child's been abused, people will look back and say, yeah, there were signs, but I didn't want to really say anything because I was scared or whatever. Man, don't be scared. That child is scared daily. If you need to make the call anonymously and look, I don't throw down with the assumption that all police are worthless or corrupt or whatever. Everybody knows their local environment and they know who the right people are to call. And if it's not your police, then it's your church. If it's not your church, it's the guy, it's the coach of the football team who you know is a good dude. Somebody
right.
has got to know and help figure it out. So just be wise and do something, I guess, is the main thing. Do something.
We cannot afford to see the signs and just think, well, yeah, okay, but do nothing. We have to be proactive to save the children in our own neighborhood. You know, it's one thing to talk about the children coming across the border. We get that and be concerned about that. But what you can do in your own town with the people perhaps you even know or associate with, that's something you have power to intervene and do something with. And I would urge everyone to take that step. Like Landon said, you know, hey.
Every single domestic human trafficking victim that we've rescued, so U.S. within U.S. or South Africa within South Africa, for example, yeah. every single one of them started being abused as a child. And by the time we got them as human trafficking victims, they're in their early 20s or, you know, if someone had stepped in when they were young and stopped the abuse, it probably wouldn't have ended up where they did.
When a child is abused when they're young, I mean, it's difficult to rehabilitate. I'm not sure I'm going to be using the words properly. Rehabilitate them or to fix them. I shouldn't say fix, but repair the damage, I suppose. Mm-hmm. Okay. And the longer it goes on, the worse it will be. But you can't give up on the children, right? I mean, the victims, you've got to, even if there's been a sustained period, you've got to rescue them and then work with them And that's what you do, right?
That's right. So stepping in the gap to help widows and orphans is not a, it's not an act of logic. It's an act of obedience. So, you know, you're not logically saying, well, I'm going to intervene or cause and effect. You know, I'm going to intervene, therefore I can fix them better. No, right. You're just in obedience. You're changing the dynamics so that should the Lord have a life for them to live reborn and apart from their past, that where they're not defined by their abuse, they can live a new life apart from their abuse, but it's not going to happen with anything that we can do.
Okay.
They have to be, their soul has to be reborn. And that's not being corny. That's being true. You can't undo that level of abuse. And they'll never forget it, but they will learn to cope with it and manage it. And that's something that we as missionaries, if you will, have had to come to grips with. Success is not seeing somebody completely put back together the way they were before their abuse. It's being able to live a life that isn't defined by the abuse they've gone through and to live it sustainably and stably. That is successful.
Right. That does not define what happened to you, does not define who you are today.
Right.
And that's, you know, your group, your organization, Shatter Ops, the work you folks do with victims like that is just absolutely tremendous. I have to say. One question I had that I want to toss in here.
Yeah.
I was looking at some information this week about, the Epstein list, the P. Diddy list, and the potential exposure. And I know this is not, obviously not localized. Well, it can be, I suppose, it can be, but in general, for people listening and watching, it's not localized or it's not within their purview. With the exposure, do you think that there will be revelations coming out that will just shake the world with respect to who's involved, what is involved? I mean, you know, because I liken it to Hillary Clinton and Laura Salisbury down in Haiti, you know, trying to smuggle out 33 children into Puerto Rico, out of the country. You know, it was all a ruse, basically. So, I mean, that surprised a lot of people. But do you think the evil will be exposed by these lists and the information that will come out? If I ask that right.
Yeah. So, sure. I mean, what does it matter? I guess to a certain extent, it's only going to matter to people who care. And those who are going to care are going to be people like us. And people who don't care are going to ignore it. It makes me think a little bit of like when the Sanhedrin and stuff when they killed Jesus, they knew he was the Messiah. They still killed him.
Wow.
They knew. They were interested in their own power structure. It doesn't matter what's staring people in the face. You know, like scripture talks about, they'll send you the prophets. They'll send you all these things and you'll still ignore the Son. So that's the kind of thing. Like if you're not invested in caring about evil because you are evil yourself and you serve your father, the father of lies, then when it's exposed that there are lies and evil, you're like, cool, man. Nothing's going to happen.
Right.
So only if we do something about it will something happen. And that really, I guess I would just say, is the crux of it all. What gets
can we do?
And then what gets done?
But what can we do? You know?
About what?
Well, you said no matter what, regardless of what gets... whatever gets exposed, it's not going to make any difference. It's up to us to, you know, to really do something. But what can we do in cases like that? Or did I mishear you with respect or misunderstand you with respect to what you were saying?
I guess when I say we, I'm just talking about the collective body of Christ. So people in decision-making, okay, you know, positions,
yeah,
who can take a minute to care more about their responsibilities to the Lord than their own personal pursuits on this earth, and find themselves in decision-making role, that they will execute justice as justice should be served and not just facilitate a legal system. That would be something that we, the collective body of Christ, could do.
Right.
You and I won't do anything. I mean, I do stuff, but that's just shining light on these guys.
I don't know. I would take issue to that. What your rescues of how many children? I mean, this year alone, you do stuff.
Well, I guess my point is, if I know that a lady's a witch, because I've heard enough to have come to the conclusion that she's a witch, right, and it gets confirmed that she's a witch, nothing has changed.
True. Okay.
We just know for sure she's a witch now. So whatever. But
in your case, you actually go in and will do things without getting, right? I mean, that's.
Yeah, so I guess maybe the one best part of things with the P. Diddy and all that stuff is that through that exposure, the mechanisms through which they operate, these networks for abusing children and grooming children and all of that, become disabled for now. Right. They become disabled and ineffective for now, and that's good. That's a good thing.
One more final question. Biden pardoned a federal judge who was accused of profiting from sending children into a privately owned prison where they were trafficked. Essentially, those are the tentpoles of the story. I mean, he pardoned a Chinese national who was a pedophile, also had 47,000 images on his computer. This is what Biden has done just over the last 24 hours. What are your thoughts on that? I mean, to me, that's just horrific. Anything additional on that?
I mean, on face value, in anything like that, if somebody's convicted of that and they're guilty, you're like, why would they be pardoning them? That's kind of not cool. Why did Trump pardon Kushner's dad? And why is Kushner's dad now the ambassador to France? So, all these things.
That's true. You can't get away from that.
It can be a can of worms. Like, yeah, you know, as a Christian, I'm kind of not 100% happy with Trump appointing the new head of the Treasury who is gay and, you know, has children and, you know, is part of the globalist network. Like, that kind of bothers me a bit.
I agree.
And so I can kind of see that there's error in most of these things, but we just have to remain constant in biblical truth. So regardless of what comes across our table, we can say a yes is a yes and a no is a no.
Understood.
So I can say that when Biden pardoned somebody who was convicted of trafficking children and the evidence was overwhelming that he actually did it, that is horrible.
Right.
And when Trump appoints Kushner's dad, I actually can say that's horrible.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with that.
So those two things to me are just, I take these things on face value. I just look at them and I say, biblically, are we yes or are we no? And maybe I'm a little too black and white that way, but I try to take it case by case, I guess is what I'm saying.
I fully understand.
Yeah.
Well, the one thing that I really want people to really appreciate about you, Landon, is your recent success in saving children and people in South Africa and in the mines. If folks, if you didn't hear that earlier, I would urge you to go back and listen to that. Just what a wonderful, great save story that was, and you're doing God's work and your organization, and you do all of this without government funding, and you know, you're working internationally as well as nationally, you're working with other groups, obviously Shatter Ops, as well as Craig's group, Vets for Child Rescue. And, you know, I try to help out when I can just by